Put some BTP sports in your cup and listen up.
I came to bring the pain.
What up, though?
I came to bring the pain.
Don't fluff this real stuff.
Yo, what up, though, BTP fans and supporters, and welcome to episode 12, I believe, of your favorite sports talk show, and that is Bring the Pain Sports Talk After Further Review. I am El Tajon, Mitchell Brock, here with the great sports Morpheus, Richard Walker, Q, and the crew, and let's get this party cracking. So, the first thing we want to address is this situation that happened in Uvalde, right here in Texas, which is down by the border, on May 24th, my anniversary of all days, 18-year-old Salvador Ramos cowardly walked into Robb Elementary School and unloaded on children, killing, I think, two adults, and the last tally that I heard was 19 children. And that is
it's unthinkable.
It's unfathomable, like, right. Man, go ahead, what you got?
We live in a society today where, unfortunately, we in a span of a month, we've had this happen twice, and I'm sorry to say we may be looking at the tip of the iceberg. We got both sides of the aisle. You know, I'm a proud gun owner. I'm a responsible gun owner. I think guns are good for protection. For those that, you know, like to use for sports, for hunting, and, you know, target practice, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But there has to be some measure in place. I mean, we have measures in place for alcohol purchases. You got to be 21 years old to purchase alcohol. You have to be 18 years old to operate a vehicle. For example, you got to be 18 or 21 to purchase cigarettes. Things like that.
Well, vehicle is 16.
Well, I mean, yeah, you're right, 16. Yeah. But still, you have controls in place. We seem to have lost sight of that with guns. And in Texas specifically, they just passed the constitutional carry law, I think it's called.
Yep.
Basically, the long and short of it is, it doesn't require you to have any type of licensing or any type of training to own a firearm in the state of Texas. That is some of the most irresponsible, stupid stuff that I've ever heard. It's not required, but I still have a LTC, a license to carry.
Correct.
Because you go to a classroom, you get trained by an instructor, you learn the laws, you go to the range and you practice.
Correct.
And you learn about situations. My license to carry instructor, shout out to Nelson down at the Marksman Indoor Range here in Houston. Outstanding instructor. If you guys ever have a need, that's the guy you want to go see. He's been an instructor for at least 30, 40 years. He taught us in that class, your gun is not to get you out of situations. It's not for you to be a big bully and walk around and flash your gun like I can do whatever to you card. Your weapon is for protection. And along those lines, you are also responsible as a gun owner to make sure that it doesn't fall into the hands of someone that may use it to harm other people. He taught us how to lock out our weapons, how to store them properly, how to access them quickly in case of a home invasion. These are the things that everyone needs to know before you get your hands on a gun. You want to be a legal gun owner. That's the way it should be. Now, all the people who say, well, criminals are going to get guns, blah, 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 that's true. But again, criminals normally steal guns from irresponsible gun owners who don't properly take care of them. And this is the case here. This guy was able to purchase a weapon legally. No problem.
Two of them.
Two of them.
He had a handgun and a rifle.
Handgun and a rifle. No problem. It's too easy.
Yeah, it's way too easy. Now, that's a good point. But at the same time, we have to address the issues that's you covered everything as far as the gun situation, but as far as the mental health. Now, if we can talk about mental health with, again, whites, and we addressed mental health with blacks, the same thing goes with Hispanics. That's not talked about as much either. And I'm not putting my cape on for Hispanics, but it's the truth.
Right.
Clearly, this young man had mental issues.
Right.
No one that does not have, I don't care how evil you are. People say evil, evil, evil. I don't care how evil you are. No one who has all of their marbles is walking into an elementary school and shooting children with a rifle. Right. I don't care what nobody, can't nobody convince me of that.
Right.
You know, so first of all, he shot his grandmother before he got to the school. Let's begin with that.
Right. He killed his grandmother.
He killed his grandmother.
Right.
Who was raising him.
Right.
So, yeah, you covered it.
Right.
You covered it as far as myself, you know, being in law enforcement security for almost 12 years myself, having have had all the training, having been able to carry, having an LTC. I'm not in that industry anymore, but I still have my license to carry.
Right.
And of course, I still have the training.
Right.
Let's address the officers. Now, they're conflicting reports about the officers, and like I've told people several times, when it comes to active shooter, there are, like anything in law enforcement, there are policies and procedures in place. Procedures and protocols in place to make entry. Okay, you have to wait until you have enough bodies. You have to make sure all entry and exit points are covered. There are procedures in place. However, from what I'm hearing, I heard one report that said 40 minutes, and I heard another report that said 90 minutes before they made entry. In a city like Uvalde, there's absolutely no excuse for that.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying run in there and be a hero and get your own cat peeled. Now, and like I was telling somebody else, I said, listen, people believe that police officers are required to sacrifice themselves for others. That's not true.
Right.
Police officers are trained to, police officers risk their lives for the safety of others. Every time you put that gun belt on, you're risking your life. But there is no procedure or protocol in place that calls for an officer to sacrifice himself. Okay. When it comes to active shooter, you don't know how many shooters there are. You don't know the location of the shooter. You don't know the location of the victims or per se. So that's why you don't just run in there gung ho, because now you get all the officers killed. Now what? Okay. However, even if it's 40 minutes, there's absolutely no excuse for it to take that long to make entry. There's no situation it should take 40 minutes to get in place and make entry.
Right.
And then I heard another report, not sure if you heard this one or not. I heard that officers were going in the school and just pulling out
their own children
and coming back out. Mm-hmm. You heard that too, right? Mm-hmm. What you got for that?
I heard that on CNN.
Yeah,
me too. Wolf Blitzer talked about that on his show. That is a beyond comprehensible act of cowardice and selfishness. Those children, all of them are precious. All of them are valuable. And I understand the love of a parent, you know, to want to protect your child. But if you're brave enough to go into that school and get your child out, you need to get all the rest of them out too. And yes, there are policies and procedures, but at the same time, there is something just called good old common damn sense.
Correct.
Because from what I've also heard is that they knew that they had they had cleared the rest of the school.
Okay.
They had him isolated to a classroom.
Okay, I know
they had him isolated to a classroom.
Okay.
And that's where a lot of the children, that's where the body count increased.
One class.
He was shooting the kids in the class.
Okay.
So he shot, for what I understand, a teacher that tried to stop him from entering.
Right.
Then he shot another adult somewhere in the hallway, entered the classroom.
So that's the two adults.
And then that's where.
So they're not, most of the 19 were in one room.
Right. It was the teacher trying to stop him from entering the class that she got killed, and then he went into the classroom and, you know.
See, now when I'm speaking of procedures and protocols, I'm speaking in general.
Right.
Because I don't know enough about that. We know what we hear on the news.
Right.
But I didn't know enough about, I didn't know that.
Right.
I didn't know that.
Right.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. No way should it ever take 40 minutes.
We have seen police officers kick in doors and go into homes unknown to arrest drug dealers.
Yes.
To arrest murderers. Yes. To arrest, hell, you name it. If you're not trained and you're not willing to say, okay, there's going to be some situations that aren't in the training book, but as a as a officer, I've taken the oath to serve and protect. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to go off that rule book a little bit, mm-hmm. and just start using good old common human decency. Mm-hmm. If you have the potential ability to stop an active shooter from killing people, and you're in the facility, in the vicinity, and I mean, there are other things that, you know, officers are trained, you know, how to take cover, et cetera. Mm-hmm. You got to take your shot, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's to me, it's criminal.
Yeah.
I think there should be some type of criminal liability for an officer that fails to do their job in such a situation. Just like the last time they had the school shooting. I can't recall exactly where.
Florida. Yeah.
The officer is outside the school behind the wall.
And then we found out that he was retiring in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
And listen, having been in that industry, would I run into an elementary school and risk my, now again, like I said, there's no protocol that causes for an officer to sacrifice his life, but would Mitchell Brock sacrifice his life to save a classroom full of children without thinking twice?
Mm-hmm.
And if my wife hears this, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was single, without a question, mm-hmm. would I think about it twice now that I have a wife and a family? Maybe. But would Mitchell Brock run into a building and risk taking a bullet to save a classroom full of children without thinking twice?
No question.
Right. Without thinking twice. So, again, 100% on that. But just a sad situation.
It's a very sad situation.
And then you go back. You said there were two. There were actually four.
Right.
There were four mass shootings within a month span.
Can't even keep up with them anymore.
Remember Buffalo?
Right.
The church in California. Mm-hmm. That was like 2 days after Buffalo. Mm-hmm. And then there was one in Chicago a few days after that. Of course, they're not talking much about that one.
No.
Of course, and you know why they're not. Mm-hmm. And that's why you're not talking about Buffalo that much. Mm-hmm. And then you had this one. So my thing is this. What type of society, what type of world do we live in where... And like I posted about it on social media. The Buffalo one hit me hard. I shed tears. Mm-hmm. I cried when I saw their pictures because mm-hmm. it was in a predominantly black neighborhood.
And they were the elders of the community.
Oh,
the grandfathers, the grandmothers, some, the deacons.
Some of the names that I can think of was Mabel, Geraldine, Ernestine, mm-hmm. Geraldine. Bro, those are our moms and aunts mm-hmm. and grandmothers. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And my mother is 75 years old. Mm-hmm. She goes to the grocery store at least two or three times a week.
Right.
And it's just like, hey, I'm going to run up to Kroger.
Right.
What if my mom says, hey, I'm going to run to Kroger and she never comes back?
Yeah.
That the thought of that just was too much for me.
Yeah.
So what kind of society do we live in where our elders can't go to the grocery store? Mm-hmm. People can't go to church.
Mm-hmm.
And our babies can't go to school.
Right.
What kind of society do we live
the
in?
The most common places where you would
where we all go.
Right. Right.
It's too much for me, man. And Steve, shout out to go ahead.
Just for a second, let me get political. You damn Republicans and Democrats get on my last damn nerve. I'm sick of the jackasses and I'm sick of the elephants. We're all sick of you. Get off of your ass and get something done.
Something.
Stop coming to our churches when it's time to get votes. Stop texting me. I'm not voting for none of your asses. Stop texting me on election day or the week of election. Stop running your stupid ass campaign ass. Get off your ass and get some shit done. We are tired of all of you. This is a call to action for all of us. This next primary season around.
Sit it out.
Anybody. No. Don't sit it out. Anybody who's in office right now, vote for their opponent. I don't care what party they're for. Get their asses out of the office in the primaries. You're not even going to the playoffs. We can you out now. Get their asses out of office in the primary. We need new blood. We need new people in office that are going to get out their ass and get something done. And if they don't get it done, replace them too. We're sick of y'all.
And one thing that people do that we'll just take the presidential election, for example.
Sick of Biden, too. Sick of Biden, sick of Trump, sick of all of y'all.
Because everybody knows that one, okay? People who say, oh, I'm going to vote for Biden just to get Trump out. My thing is this. I'm not going to vote. Well, that vote, if you write in somebody or if you vote for somebody who is not, doesn't have a chance to win, who doesn't have the backing of a party, your vote doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Because me, who I am, I'm going to vote for who I believe in.
Right.
I don't care if I am literally that person's only vote.
Right.
I'm going to cast my vote for who I believe in. Now, I was born and raised in Detroit, Michigan by a union. My mother was on the executive board of the UAW in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say I was raised union, my blood, if you cut me right now, it's blue
mm-hmm.
because of the way I was raised.
Mm-hmm.
I was the type of person that would go in and vote straight party Democrat
mm-hmm.
because that's how I was raised.
Mm-hmm.
But the older I got and the more I started doing my own research and started being able to think for myself, I said, wait a minute. These people, Republicans and Democrats, are fangs in the mouth of the same snake.
Mm-hmm.
They come out here every 4 years. Mm-hmm. They do a song and dance. Mm-hmm. They do what they
do. Thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers. They get their votes and they go back into hiding. When's the last time you seen Kamala Harris?
Pearls and Chucks.
Don't worry. I'll wait.
Pearls and Chucks.
She came out, and I'm going to call her out. She came out with her hot sauce in her purse. Mm-hmm. She get on live talking about, she was on the Breakfast Club. And he asked her, who'd you listen to in college? She said Tupac
wasn't even out. Around.
Tupac was a child. Tupac was in junior high. I did the math. Tupac was in junior high when she was in college.
Yeah.
And then she got on there and say, yeah, shout out to my boy Fife Dawg. Fife Dawg had been dead for 5 years. That's what we deal with. Mm-hmm. That's what we deal with. Mm-hmm. Oh, I carry hot sauce in my purse. Really? They come out, they do their song and dance every 4 years, and then they go back into hiding together, mm-hmm. have drinks and dinner, and they laugh at us.
Yep.
That's what they do.
Go play golf and
together.
Hang out in the Hamptons together.
Yeah. That's what they do.
Yeah.
So miss me with that, man. Miss me with that. So this is good. This is good. Sports aside, man, mm-hmm. this needs to be talked about.
Shout out to Coach Kerr, man. That speech, he got me. He made the hair on the back of my neck stand up, yep. man. Like that was a powerful call to action, and I appreciate you, Coach, before they even tried to start anything with the press conference, you shut them down and you said, "Look, hey, attention on this right here."
Right.
And that was a hell of a statement that Coach made, man. That was amazing.
Thank you for caring.
Yeah.
Thank you for caring, yeah. man. I mean,
yeah.
Anytime a grown man starts to cry and yeah. you see his lips quivering,
yeah.
that's somebody who cares, man. Yeah. And shout out to Coach Kerr on that, man.
Yeah.
It's just something's got to be done, man. Mm-hmm. Something's got to be done. But you got anything else to wrap this up?
Like I said, use the power of the vote.
Yeah.
And it's not the general election. Get these guys' asses out of office in the primary. Look up their voting records. All those who voted against the gun restrictions and things and such, get their asses out of office in the primary. It's time for some upsets.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Time for some upsets. So, all right. Transitioning. Let's get off into what the Morpheus has got going on.
Well, for those of you who have been following, you know that I am the media captain for the NFL Alumni Wellness Program, specifically targeting obesity. We have a wellness challenge going on. I am also proud to share that our good friend Patrick Creighton of ESPN 97.5 right here in Houston has joined the challenge. He's already on his first week in the program. He's doing great. I am his coach, so Patrick and I, you know, chit-chat or text every morning, so you're going to see a lot less of him very soon. I'll just say
literally.
That. Yeah, literally. But if you want to join the challenge, you can go to our website, which is btpsportstalk.com. There's a link there. Or you can also go to press.nflalumni.org. I know that's different from the normal site. We wanted to make it very easy for everyone to get in. There's a button right there. You'll see a picture and video of me. You'll see also David Blaha, Reggie Brown, some of the other coaches from the Alumni Association. You can pick your own coach. You don't have to pick me. You pick one of them. You don't feel comfortable. Yeah, that guy talked too much. Huh? Okay, cool. Pick somebody else. We're here to help you. We're here to support you. We want you to help you get to your goals. This is a team effort, and we are going to win the game against our opponent, obesity. which is the common ground for a lot of health issues in America right now. So that being said, time to do the weekly duty. Last week, we weighed in at 338. Is that correct? 338. 338. All right, let's see where we're at.
Brother,
334.8. So we're down on another.
It didn't record.
Well, we got
it. You want to do it again?
Yeah, no, we got it for Q.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
My bad.
Q is on. Let me tell you something, man. Yeah. Like,
get this man his flowers.
Yeah, bro. The magic that happens here, it ain't all us, man. So. I have people hit me up all the time, ask me, Rich, how we? Some serious, some of them just like to waste time. Some, hey man, how do y'all do this? Da da da. Let me tell y'all something. And Q, if you can put your information on screen, I don't know if you can do it that quick. Sacred Stone Studios is where all this magic happens. So shout out to Q and the crew. They are the wheels that make the car go. So,
Marcus Jones, we ain't forgot about you, dog. Here's the thing. All this production and this music and all this different stuff you see.
The intro, that fire ass intro that y'all hear?
At most, two people,
mm-hmm.
Q and Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
And majority of the time, it's one of the two.
Right.
Majority of the time, one person makes all this happen, at the most two.
Right.
So shout out to our crew, man.
Yeah. So again, Sacred Stone Studios. Sacred Stone Studios. For those, if you're serious, if you bought that life, Come on down to death row. And holler my man Q. He'll get you pointed in the right direction.
For sure. So, all right, let's go off into some sports since we're here.
Okay. I think we'll talk a little
sports. Talk a little bit of sports. It's just I had to get that off my chest publicly. Yeah. Like everything I've said in that last segment, I've had those private conversations, you know, with my wife and family, mm-hmm. things like that. But I needed to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
We needed that to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
So NBA finals are almost set. They're halfway set. The Golden State Warriors punched their ticket by getting rid of the Dallas Mavericks. I called it. You almost had it.
Gentleman's sweep.
You called, yeah. You called the sweep, but I said, nah, Dallas are still one at the crib. And that's exactly what they did. Luka got hot, did his thing, and they got one at the house. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, the Golden State Warriors are the 2022 NBA Western Conference champions, and they await the winner of the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat series, which is now tied 3-3. And we get some Memorial Day weekend. We get a Memorial Day weekend Game 7.
Yes.
Which was not an accident. Did you watch the game last night?
Yep.
Let's talk about those last few minutes of the game.
The refs made damn sure that there was going to be a game 7. Because the whole game, they let them play. And then all of a sudden in the fourth quarter, foul. Foul. Oh, I looked at him. Foul. I touched his computer. Foul. Touched his hat. Foul. They went above and beyond to make damn sure that the Heat won that game. It was like somebody from Buffalo Wild Wings calling.
They hit the button.
Yeah. Game setting. Boop. Done.
Bro, I posted about this.
It was insane. Like, it was very bad.
It could not have been more obvious, man. The one when I knew, it was two actually. It was one where after PJ Tucker made that steal,
mm-hmm.
and I forgot who it was, but reached around and touched his jersey.
Just
literally,
yeah.
His finger grazed his jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Foul.
Mm-hmm.
And those of y'all who know me, you know I am a high school football and basketball official, trying to get into college football, but I am an official in two sports. So this is my 6th year doing it. And one thing that I've said and you've rarely heard me do it, is get on the officials or down talk the officials, because now that I do it at a high level, I understand how difficult it is.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll never hear me say, "Oh God, the refs suck." Mm-hmm. You know, because I know how and tough it is.
Usually, that's the default BS from the fans, right, when their team loses. Mm-hmm. Oh, the refs this, right, that, and the other. Nobody does it more than Rockets fans, right, for some reason.
But this one,
yeah.
I got nothing. Man. As a matter of fact, I cape for refs because, right, again, I understand how difficult it is. You can watch the game on TV, and you got super slow mo 50 times from 50 different angles.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you can say, "Oh, that didn't happen."
Mm-hmm.
But when that game is in front of you, and like I said, I do it at the high school level.
Mm-hmm.
When that game is in front of you, you have no clue how fast that game moves, football and basketball.
I think they just called a foul on Jason Tatum for clicking on the NBA website. He clicked on the Heat logo and got called for a foul.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. And there was another one where I think Jimmy Butler shot a jumper.
Oh, man, that was old.
He was this far from his arm.
Yeah, he didn't even touch the hairs on his arm. It was just like you can see the space between his hand and Jimmy's hand, like literally. And it was like, and Jimmy, of course, sold it a little bit.
Of course. Yeah, I'm not mad at Jimmy. Yeah, I'm not mad at Jimmy. You do what you're supposed to do. You're trying to stay alive, you know. But some of those calls were just bad.
Yeah.
Just bad. And speaking of fighting for your life, and I'm going to get on you every time somebody do it. Mr. Harden, sir. can I talk to you for just a second? Just 1 second. I want to talk to you. 3-2 on the road.
Mm-hmm.
You're on the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Butler basically said, "Give me the ball and get the hell out of my way.
Mm-hmm.
We not going home."
Mm-hmm.
47. I think it was a 47.
Mm-hmm.
Was that his final
total? I think it was 47.
47 points. That's what a superstar does.
Yep.
That and then
I got this.
Move.
Yeah.
I got it. Yeah. And they couldn't do nothing with him.
Nope.
That's how it's done, sir. That's how it's done. Jason Tatum showed you last round,
mm-hmm,
and now he shows you this round.
Al Horford has been a bigger contributor in the 2022 NBA playoffs than James Harden. Argue with me.
For what?
Yeah.
For what? So that's how it's done.
Like I said, Tony Romo with a nappy beard.
Man.
Great in the regular season. In the playoffs.
Yeah. So the game is in Miami and Boston. Y'all should have got it done.
I should have got it done.
Now, first of all, let me take it a step back. Shout out to Boston for making one hell of a comeback.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I turned it on, I was busy running around yesterday. But when I got home and turned the game on, they were down by, I think, 14.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually came back and took the lead.
Mm-hmm.
But and shout out to Kyle Lowry too.
Mm, Kyle Lowry came through. That three he hit was big.
That was massive.
That was big.
And that's what he does.
Yeah.
He got a ring.
Yep.
He know what it's like.
Yep.
PJ Tucker got a ring with the Bucks last year. He know what it's like. Yeah, I know. I know. You got something to say about that. Go ahead.
I'm not hating on PJ, but I have an appreciation for 6'6" untalented guys getting paid. I wish that could happen to me too. I fit the credentials. I mean, but no, I mean, he just, you know, and I tweeted out last night because I had to bust a Scott Van Pelt's balls. He was like, "We'll be right back." He was hosting SportsCenter Live.
Right, right.
"We'll be right back with one of the stars of the Miami Heat." They come back with PJ Tucker. And I'm like, "Bro, you said star and PJ Tucker in the same sentence, man." That's like saying bodybuilder and Luther Vandross in the same sentence. Like, he ain't even, nah, bro, no. Stop doing that, man. He's a decent role player. He does what he's paid to do, but, you know, you still got a lot of people out there. Like, he's one of those guys kind of like Patrick Beverly. Like, he get gassed up way too much, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
You a pastor in the back of the car. You shouldn't be hollering at the girl, dog.
Yeah, yeah. And let's talk about the backlash that Draymond, of course, hindsight is 2020.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about the backlash that Draymond Green is getting for saying, I know you saw in the post game interview when he said, "We're playing Boston. It's Boston. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, we're playing Boston. Yeah. And now Udonis Haslam speaks up. Oh, man. He went against the code.
He gave them the lock. He gave them the old bulletin board material. And everybody thought that Miami was done. They beaten up. They're on the road. They're up against the ropes. They're down 3-2. Hobbled. You know, everybody on it, all of the major players on the team got some type of nagging injury they're dealing with. But, man, did they underestimate Jimmy.
Man. And he said it. We talked about this last week. Mm-hmm. He said, I got to do better.
He channeled his inner Kobe last night. He had a Mamba moment last night.
From all over the court.
Over.
There was nothing
they could do with him. On the defense side of the ball, too.
Made plays.
Yeah.
Yep. There was nothing they could do with him, man. And he made it happen. And like you said, I ain't going to lie. I said the same thing. I'm like, they're done.
Mm-hmm.
They looked tired. They looked fatigued. They looked overwhelmed. They looked overmatched in game five. So I thought they were done, too.
Mm-hmm. But I think they went back because this, you remember, this is a team that had their hearts broken a couple of years ago.
In the bubble.
The Heat. Yeah, in the bubble.
Yeah.
And I think they channeled that. They're like, hold on, wait a minute. No. We've been down here before. We've been here before, and we didn't get it done. I'll be damned. Like, no, we're going to fight a little harder. So they dug in, and, man, they showed a lot of grit last night, man.
Yeah, they lost that old sorry team in the bubble.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that old sorry. Mm-hmm. They got lucky. That old lucky that old lucky team they got in the bubble. Mm-hmm.
The Magic got lucky how many times against you?
Okay. First of all, I'm going to go there.
Here we go.
Yeah, I'm going to go there.
Here we go.
We should have been the first team to three-peat.
That was a foul.
We got cheated in the 88, bro.
It was the correct call. You said you're the official. Then you said you caped for official. You need to cape for officials now. That was definitely the correct call.
That was a horrible call.
The basketball determined the fate as it should.
But they say the ball don't lie.
Told the complete and total truth. The Los Angeles Lakers were champions that year, sir. That's what the ball said.
Bro, the champagne was I remember hearing Isaiah Thomas
I remember showing that shop. They had all the champagne in the locker room, and they had the little plastic
covered. Isaiah Thomas said
nobody took a sip of that damn champagne.
Isaiah Thomas said when we're walking back to the tunnel,
they walk by and saw
see them
taking it down.
He said as we're walking through the tunnel to get to the locker room, we see them wheeling the champagne out of our locker room. We get in the locker room, and we see them pulling the plastic off our lockers.
Won't be needing that, buddy.
God dang it. And I knew it. And remember, Isaiah was hurt going into game seven. Yep. I was like, game seven, we done. And Isaiah was hurt, but we should have through. That's okay. We came back 89-90, got it done. But, hey, payback is a mug because Magic was hurt in the 89. I mean, in the 90 finals. Mm-hmm. So, 90 we beat Portland.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's go back to the Warriors, man. Shout out to Klay Thompson, man.
Mm-hmm. All that he's been through the past two years.
Yeah.
He had two devastating
injuries. Yeah.
He was out with COVID for a while. Yep. That's already enough to go through rehab and all that just to get back in shape to come back to begin with. Then you go through all that. Then you go through basically, you still got the nucleus of the team there, of course, with Draymond and Curry.
And Stephen, yeah.
But you've got other parts now. Then you got to go back and try to fit your way back into rotation with these guys. And, man, that's Klay Thompson team right now.
Think
so? Don't tell Ayesha Curry that, but that's Klay team right now.
You think so?
It is a damn crime that he did not get the Magic Johnson Western Conference MVP.
I was just about to ask you that.
It's a damn crime. That was Klay Award. We all know Steph is more marketable because Klay don't smile. Klay don't do the stupid Subway commercials. You know, he's not a people. He's an ass kicker. He's not an ass kisser. You know,
I got a perfect analogy for Klay and Steph. They often get not to make it a Pistons thing, but they often are compared to Isaiah Thomas and Joe Dumars, mm-hmm. who before them was the greatest backcourt to ever play together,
mm-hmm.
right? Isaiah Thomas, big smile, big personality. That's
a perfect analogy.
Big personality, always got something to say. Everybody loves him.
Joe Dumars,
you wouldn't recognize his voice if you heard it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, perfect. Klay and Steph are Isaiah and Joe,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Joe Dumars is a Hall of Famer, too.
I couldn't tell you what his voice sounds like.
Exactly.
I know Isaiah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Joe Dumars is also a Hall of Famer. Right. Joe Dumars has the same two rings as Ed Thomas got. Mm-hmm. Joe Dumars also has the finals MVP,
mm-hmm.
but you don't hear nobody talk about
nope.
him because he wasn't marketable.
Right.
That's Clay and Steph.
And all that trash that Isaiah talk about Jordan, it was Dumars that was holding Jordan, not you.
Correct. And Jordan admitted that.
Us old heads remember.
Yes. Jordan said.
He gave Jordan a little proud. He made Jordan work hard.
Jordan said.
Jordan still was Jordan, but I mean, he made him work hard for it.
He said the two people that gave him the most hell on defense were Vernon Maxwell and Joe Dumars.
Yeah.
He said, and of course, we played them more because they were in our division. Yeah. So we played them 6-8 times a year.
Yeah.
He said Joe was the person that made him work the hardest.
And then Joe didn't have a dominant big. So like Vernon Maxwell had the luxury of the greatest interior defensive big man of all time. You can't go to the paint with 34 down there.
Think so?
Hell no.
You think he's the greatest defensive big man ever?
What? See, when he was 6'6", 6'10".
That's true.
All them block shot, man. No, boy.
That's true.
Don't forget, man. Don't, man. Put some respect on Hakeem Olajuwon, bro. Like,
where you put Mutombo?
He wasn't a king. Mutombo was just tall as hell. Like you had to arc your jump shot to get over his tall ass. Hakeem Olajuwon come out of nowhere. Like he was like some type of serial killer. Like he just came out block your shot. Like that block he had on Rod Strickland, man. Come on, man.
Get that.
Ain't no way
in
hell a dude that size supposed to catch up with a guy that much smaller. And he blocked that damn shot into the cheap seats. Like. Yeah. Somebody got a souvenir off of that, man. Like,
that's a good point when you talk about Hakeem, because they call him a 7-footer.
Yeah.
We've seen him in person.
No.
Like you said, 6'10", 6'11", tops.
Yeah.
But he ain't nowhere near 7 feet.
No.
Nowhere Never near. Would. He's tall as a mug, but he ain't 7 feet.
But to kind of segue just a little bit, y'all Houston people stop lying about that Vernon Maxwell shit. I like Vernon. I think Vernon's, I met Vernon. Vernon's an awesome, you interview Vernon. Vernon's an awesome guy. He is hella funny. I wish he would do a podcast one day because I think he got a lot of stories to tell.
He still live in Houston, right?
Yeah. And I love following him on Twitter because he ripped Utah's ass up every chance he get. That man get up, drink some coffee, and talk shit about Utah. Like, I love it. Y'all stop lying about him shutting down Jordan.
Oh, no.
That's a damn lie. Nope. That is a, look at me. It is a damn lie. Mm-mm. When you say that Vernon Maxwell shut down Michael Jordan, does Michael Jordan, baby?
Nobody shut down. Not even Joe Dumars. Nobody shut Jordan down.
Now, he was not able to go to the rack like he was because you had Big 34 down there that you had to worry about. You saw what happened to him when he went to San Antonio and he played against Jordan. Don't take my word for it. Look at the numbers. When he, I think he was a Sacramento or whatever team he was. Jordan just destroyed his ass after that. But
you talking about Olajuwon?
No, Vernon Maxwell.
Oh, Maxwell. Yeah, Sacramento.
Stop the lie. Stop the lie. He did a good job against Jordan. He made Jordan work hard. If you fix your lips to say Vernon Maxwell shut down Michael Jordan, I will slap you in the mouth. That's a damn lie.
Michael, and here's the thing.
He ever stuck 35 against Vernon Maxwell, too. You want to go look the stats up.
And let me tell you another misnomer that you Houston people, not Houston people because you're a Houston person, Houston Rockets fans like to tell.
Ray. You all going to pick on you, man. Ray ain't like that. He's a good Rockets
fan. Yeah, my shout out to our ex-teammate, Rocket Ray Bell, my guy. They say that, well, Jordan retiring tonight. We know that the reason the Rockets got their championships, and I'm going to say it.
Oh, this is a hot one right here.
Is because Michael Jeffrey Jordan decided he didn't want to play in 94 and 95. He won championships in 91, 92, 93. He leaves in 94 and 95. He comes back and wins 97, 96, 97, 98. What makes you think he wasn't going to win it in 94 and 95, too?
Can we turn the air conditioner down here? It just got hot up in here.
What makes you think he wouldn't have done the same thing? Hold on. I got more. And then I think it was the 94 they beat the Knicks. Mm-hmm. 95 they beat the Magic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They say in the 94 season, because being East and West, they only play each other twice a year, a home and away. They say, well, we beat the Bulls both times in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? 98, when the Bulls beat the Utah Jazz beat the Bulls in both of those regular seasons too.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your point?
Mm-hmm.
Regular season?
And then they're also, this is another rebuttal that they're going to have. Cause we're gonna post this on social media. We're going to post this segment on social media. We want to hear from y'all on this because we're going to go back and forth on this. Rockets fans will say, well, Jordan was back in the league for the last championship because they got beat by Orlando the year that the Rockets swept the Magic.
Right.
Michael Jordan played like 15, 16 games that year, bro.
He wasn't even number 23. He wasn't even number 23.
He was 45 or whatever. Michael Jordan was, he wasn't even in baseball shape because he sucked at baseball. Michael Jordan was drinking beers, smoking cigars, riding around in a bus that he bought for his sorry ass double A team.
Admittedly.
Yeah. And he said, you know what? This is the baseball thing working out. Let me go back to the league. And he came back like towards the end of the season.
Yep.
He was not in basketball shape.
Yep.
I'm not making excuses. I'm keeping it real. That's why you have the offseason. That's why you prepare for the season. He had no season preparation. Nope. And they still went, was it to the conference finals?
Yeah.
They still went to the conference
finals. Orlando beat them in, I think, six or seven.
They went to the conference finals, bro. And Jordan wasn't 100%. You saw what happened when he got him a full offseason under him.
Three more.
Walked out still on top. They probably would have got four or five or six. Probably at least four if they would have kept that Rodman – Pippen and Jordan unit together.
We all saw the last
dance. And Tony Kukoc.
Yeah, and Phil Jackson.
Yeah.
Well, Phil's still there, but I mean, there was, like I said, there was no reason to believe they wouldn't have done the same thing in 94 and 95. Right. Now, do I believe they would have been some great series? Probably would have been the best series that they played. Utah was some good series,
mm-hmm.
but the Jazz and the Rockets kind of mirrored each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had a dominant big man in Olajuwon and Karl Malone.
Mm-hmm.
I think Utah was definitely better at the point guard position. No shade against Kenny Smith.
No, no question.
But
Kenny Smith mama will tell you John Stockton better than him. Like, come on.
So,
I like Kenny. Great guy.
Yeah.
You ain't Stockton though.
And then people say, well, Olajuwon would have killed Bill Winnington and all those guys. You are absolutely correct. Right.
But what about the rest of them?
What about the rest of them? We had this conversation.
What are you going to do with Pippen? And for damn sure, what you going to do with 23?
We had this conversation last week about the Pistons and the Lakers. Remember we said, going into the 04 Pistons said, we're going to do what we can with Shaq.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to let Kobe get his.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to shut everybody else down.
Mm-hmm.
4-1 series.
And then
it would have been the same thing.
We didn't even talk about Tony Kukoc, who's on the bench.
Hall of Famer, by the way.
And I'll go look up the Naismith Hall of Fame so you can understand why he's a Hall of Famer.
Not the NBA Hall. Yeah. There's no such thing as the NBA Hall of Fame.
Naismith Hall of Fame.
There's no such thing as the NFL Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
So great point.
Yeah. So you had all of those weapons. And you even had Ron Harper, who was a perennial all NBA guy.
Before he got hurt.
Before he came to the Bulls.
Well, before he hurt his knee.
Yeah, true. But when he came to the Bulls, he was the fifth option on that team. This is a dude that just cranked out like 23, 24 points a game a couple years before he came to the Bulls.
This is the guy.
No, it ain't like they had weapons on that team, bro. Like,
this is the guy who used to kill the Bulls when he was with Cleveland.
Yes.
He used to kill Jordan when he was in Cleveland.
And he was with the Clippers also.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Hollywood, yep. Ron Harper. They used to call him Hollywood Ron Harper.
Yep.
He hurt his knee. He wasn't the same.
Don't act like they ain't have good guys that couldn't score.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Steve Kerr was not just a guy that he wasn't a tomato can either. That boy can shoot.
What? Probably still can shoot.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. Just stop it.
Stop the lie, man. So
stop.
To recap, Rockets fans, two lies. I want you to stop immediately. Number one, stop lying about Vernon Maxwell shutting down Jordan. And number two, stop lying about the damn championships. Yes, you won them. We're grateful that you won them. I'm happy for Akeem Olajuwon. Y'all wasn't going to win them damn championships if Boy Jordan was in the league.
Taking nothing away from you.
No shade.
You beat a good Knicks team, and you beat a great Orlando Magic team.
Let me say it real slowly so you can understand. The Houston Rockets in 94 and 95 would not beat the Chicago Bulls in a final series.
Nope.
Run tell that.
Nope. Yep. So, speaking.
See the name?
Bring it. That's what we do. That's what we do, man. And speaking of my real weak Italian accent, shout out to my man Ray Liotta.
That was one of my favorites.
That was one of my favorite actors, right, man. And that's one of my favorite gifts to use when he laughs in Goodfellas.
Yep.
Shout out to Ray Liotta.
One of the underappreciated actors, for sure. He does so much, man. And like, even if it, like those who remember the Grand Theft Auto Vice City, he was the voice of Tommy Vercetti.
Yep.
Like, man, he was big.
Shoeless Joe Jackson. Yeah. Goodfellas is my favorite.
Goodfellas, man.
But if there was any mob movie, any Italian based movie, Ray Liotta was one of
the greatest villain actors that I can think of.
For sure. For sure. For sure.
His ability to get into that character, man. Oh.
Yep.
And man, what was that movie with him and Michael Douglas? And he was the cop, the dirty cop.
I know what you're talking about.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm going to go watch that. I'm watching that this weekend, man. Yeah. I'm having a Ray Liotta weekend,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out.
Shout out to Ray, man. Rest in peace, brother.
Right. But let's get to your Lakers, man.
Yes.
So y'all got a new coach.
Yes.
Y'all got a new coach.
Yes. Actually a former Piston.
Yeah. Duncan Darvin Ham.
Yes. Duncan Darvin Ham.
Yep. Born and raised in Saginaw, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Was on the Pistons 04 championship team that beat the Lakers. And now he is the Lakers.
You would bring
that
up.
Of course I would. And now he's the Lakers head coach.
Yeah.
Talk about it.
This is a guy that comes for the dirt. I'm excited about this.
Mm-hmm.
And for a real quick second, you Lakers affiliates, not the fans, not the folks that been around for Magic, Worthy, Michael Cooper, you know, Kareem.
Byron Scott.
Byron Scott, Kobe, Shaq. No, not y'all. You Lakers affiliates. I'm getting sick of y'all, too. Shut the hell up. Darvin Ham is going to do an outstanding job as the head coach of the LA Lakers. He's a guy who worked his way through the ranks. He's not a guy that just came out of nowhere and say, hey, I played NBA basketball before. You want me to be a coach? Look up this man's resume. Look at what he's done as an assistant coach.
Literally, what
he
I'm
was
doing
one of the integral coaches in the Milwaukee Bucks, turning their franchise around and winning a championship. He knows how to deal with superstars. He has some guy named Giannis.
Who gives him the credit for making him the player that he is, by the way.
Who developed him and helped him to get the most out of him. You got some power forward right now that has the potential, and it's the potential starting to get a little stale, if that makes sense. So we kind of need somebody that's got a track record of, you know, working with potential, turning potential into fruition. Yeah. I think this guy's going to do a good job. So, all of you Lakers affiliates, shut the hell up. You don't even know that Glenn Rice played for the Lakers before.
Wow. And got chips.
Yeah.
Got chips.
So,
with
them. Shut up. We don't need y'all.
Yeah.
We'll let y'all know when to put your jersey back on and come back out.
So, check this out. You talk like you alluded to it, started from the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
This man's first coaching job in professional basketball, he was an assistant coach in the D League.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not crapping on the D League, but when you're talking about the hierarchy of professional coaching in 2008, this is 2022.
Mm-hmm.
In 2008, this man started off as an assistant in the D League for the Albuquerque Thunderbirds.
Mm-hmm.
Then he got on as their head coach. And then Mike Brown brought he used to coach with the Lakers now.
Yeah. Laker fans knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Lakers affiliates had no idea.
Yep. So he's coming
back home.
Yeah. Yeah.
His first real NBA job was with the Lakers.
With Mike Brown.
Those y'all affiliates.
Yep.
Y'all didn't even know that, did you?
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. And then check this out. After that, he goes to the Atlanta Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
Then he goes to Venezuela
mm-hmm.
and coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes back to the Hawks. And then he went over to Milwaukee,
mm-hmm.
where, like we just said, was an integral part of the development. And here's another thing. We talked about this before, too. People think Giannis is fresh in the league.
No.
Giannis had been in the league.
He started young.
Yeah.
Right.
5-6 years. You hadn't heard of Giannis until maybe 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. Duncan Darvin. We used to call him Duncan Darvin Ham because he had bounce.
Man,
Darvin Ham had crazy bounce. If y'all haven't seen this,
go look up that video of him breaking that backboard.
Crazy bounce.
Man.
Yeah. First of all, being from a Michigan guy, I've seen him in person. For the dude's calves was like this, yeah. Dude. He looked like a football player if you see him in person. Mm-hmm. He was a big dude, and he had crazy bounce, man. Mm-hmm. So Giannis gives him a lot of the credit for his defense. And here's the thing. And this goes to show you, Darvin Ham averaged 2 points in his NBA career. And he had a long NBA career. He played for, 97 through 2008.
So 11 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. 11 seasons in the NBA.
That's and averaged 2 points a game.
Yeah.
But one of the great, and I can say that now, one of the greatest power forwards we've ever seen, Giannis Antetokounmpo, gives him the credit for his development. Mm-hmm. What does that tell you?
Right.
The man can coach.
Right.
The man can coach. And right. He finally got his shot.
Right.
So shout out to Duncan Darvin, man. So while we're on the subject.
I'm excited. Yeah. I can't wait for the. And I've been saying this for the longest. Don't take my word for it. Go to my Twitter. It's time for a new breed coaches.
Yeah.
No disrespect to the current coaches. It's time for some of y'all to phase out.
Yeah.
You know. The Mike D'Antonis, the
Rick Carlisle,
the Mike Browns. You try so many different times. It just ain't work. It just wasn't meant to be, bro.
Game is passing you by,
man. Game is passing you by. It's time to move on. Let the new folks take over.
Same thing with the NFL. The only game that ain't really changing is baseball.
Right.
But
do you have a breed of coaches out there in the ranks that it's this time for them to get their shot? Yeah. Sam Cassell, Mario Elie.
Yeah. Darvin Ham is
Darvin Ham is now one of them.
Yep.
Dawn Staley.
Brian Shaw.
Dawn Staley.
Yeah.
It's time to break that barrier, bro. Yeah. She ready.
Yeah.
She ready.
Yeah.
And she would command the respect of an NBA locker room.
100%.
No
100%.
Question. She's been there. She's done it.
And see, here's the thing. Only people who has never played sports on a higher level say that, a woman can't coach men's sports because the men won't respect them. That's a lie.
That's
from the pit of hell.
Yes.
That's a lie from the pit of hell. Mm-hmm. If she asks them guys how they feel about Becky Hammon in mm-hmm. San Antonio, mm-hmm. if she knows what she's doing and she knows what she's talking about, them guys are going to listen.
If Popovich would have retired sooner, she would have been his replacement.
For sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. So, yeah.
And it would have been no problems.
Yeah. Yeah. Only people who don't play sports think that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a man. We both men.
Mm-hmm.
But we interviewed the first female coach in the NFL.
Right.
And just the conversation I had with her made me respect her. I play for her in a heartbeat.
Yep.
If she know what she's talking
about. She know what she's talking about.
She know what she's talking about.
Yep.
Same thing we say about, gays in the league and all this. Can you play?
Yeah.
We met Michael Sam in L.A.
Yeah.
And I guess he thought we was going to be kind of act weird toward him when we met him. We was like, hey.
What's up, bro?
What's up, fam?
Yeah.
You still living in Texas? Bet. Come on through and be on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because he been there.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't very successful,
mm-hmm.
but he got there.
Mm-hmm.
We respect that.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the women's coaches. She paid her dues and she got there. Same right. thing with now as an official, Sarah Thomas,
mm-hmm.
the first female official in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know what it takes to get there. Much respect, sis. Much respect.
Mm-hmm.
We don't play that game here. No. If you can do the job, we don't care what you do in your right. bedroom or what your gender is. If
right.
you can do the job, you can do the job.
Right.
So one thing I want to get on with, we got a few minutes left, to go back to the Uvalde thing. A result of that was Gabe Kapler. God, who is this man mad? This is the Giants. San Francisco Giants manager Gabe Kapler said he's going to sit out the national anthem as a result. Oh, you heard about that?
Okay.
He said because of the state of our country, and it goes back to what you were saying about the gun laws and lawmakers not doing what we think they should be doing. He's going to sit out the national anthem. Let's see if he get the. Let's see if they keep that same energy. Let's see if he got the same energy. What you got on that?
Yeah, because remember, it's all about the respect for the military and our American flag and our American values. How dare you disrespect our flag?
Disrespect
and
America.
Where's that same energy at now?
I can't wait.
I ain't hear nothing about it till now.
When's their next game?
I'm gonna make sure I bookmark that so I can watch the see.
I'm gonna make sure
see we hear about that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see if he get canceled.
Yep. Let's see if they keep that same energy for him. And they play today at 3:00.
Perfect.
So this will be the first. He just said it last night. So this will be the first game where he actually. And he said he's not going to kneel. Because, you know, in baseball, they come out the dugout and stand on the line, third and first base line.
Mm-hmm.
He said he's going to stay respectfully. He's going to peacefully protest and respectfully stay in the dugout during the national anthem. First of all, shout out to you.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, we're going to see if they keep that same energy.
No, we already know you're not, but
I want to see it. Y'all better.
Yeah.
Because if y'all don't want to miss after further review next week if y'all don't.
Which actually, I'm a bit surprised that it's been surprisingly quiet because you know that Colin Kaepernick worked out for the Raiders.
I forget that. You're right. Cap got to work out with the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was it a facade?
Possibly.
Maybe. But did they give him a shot? They did. They did.
They still haven't said whether or not they're going to sign him to a contract. I think there's probably some debate. You know, if they are interested in signing him, there's probably some debate internally. Okay, if we're going to make the decision to bring him in, how do we deal with the PR? How do we deal with the media? How we deal with the backlash? It's going to happen.
It's the Raiders.
Yeah.
That's the perfect place for him to go.
Right.
It would have been two places that – well, they would never take him, first of all, but the Patriots, because Belichick would shut all of that down, and the Raiders, because that's what the Raiders do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Raiders do. And we've talked about this before. The Raiders have always been riders.
They've been the most, besides the Steelers that I can think of, they've been probably the one of the most progressive sports organizations. They hired the first black NFL head coach, Art Shell. They hired the first Hispanic head coach,
Tom Flores.
And then they have a woman
in the front office.
Front office executive position. I can't recall exactly what her title is, but you know, as an organization, they've been very progressive. You know, similar to the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
So, if anybody's going to do it, it's them. I think they're in a city that Las Vegas is a pretty. They're a very diverse city
and very liberal too.
Very liberal city, and a lot of people that they don't live there per se. Like
that's true.
That's not really their home.
Yeah.
So I think it could work in that market. He's gonna get hell. He's gonna catch hell on the road, but in the city, I think he'll be fine.
I don't think he cares.
Yeah, I do.
I think he's in a place where he doesn't care.
Right.
First of all, to do what he did.
He doesn't care. Right.
He can't care. But and I think.
But I would be excited to see him go to a training camp and see what he's got left. I do think in all fairness. You know, when he left the 49ers, he did not suck.
You
need to go back and look at his stats.
No.
You cannot tell me that over the course of the past 5 years that he has been better than some of these sorry-ass quarterbacks that keep getting contracts.
Bro. Now, the reality of it is he's 34.
Mm-hmm.
He was a mobile quarterback that had a good arm, but he wasn't known for his arm.
Mm-hmm.
So a 34-year-old mobile quarterback – that hasn't played in, 6 years? 2017?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That hadn't played in 6 years? I don't know. But we'll see.
But as a backup.
Give him a shot.
As a backup, I think he can provide some value. You know, he still can give, you know, the backup quarterback, they're most valuable in the film room and practice.
Correct.
And he can, because there are a lot of mobile quarterbacks in the league now, for the scout team purposes, he would be very damn good because he can emulate a lot of the things in practice that they're going to see on Sunday.
And here's the thing.
In a pinch, I mean, he can step in and, you know,
that's lead your team
for
see.
A game or two.
Now, all we've seen him do is throw to receivers.
In T-shirt and shorts
right. With no pass rush, no pads on, no equipment. I want to see if he can still get out of the pocket when that pocket breaks down.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see if he can still throw the ball on the run. I want to see if he still can take a hit.
Because
like I said, he's 34. He ain't played in 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And if he can't, if he fails, just like Tim Tebow.
Right.
He got his shot with Jacksonville.
Tebow got his shot. He sucked, deserve it.
And they cut him.
Yeah.
But guess what? I'm sure he can sleep at night now.
Yep.
Because he's like, hey, I had my shot. I didn't make it. Same with Cap.
Yep.
Hey, give him a shot. If he fails.
Tebow.
He fails. If he fails, he fails. But get a man a shot.
Yeah.
Get a man a shot. So. And I think I don't know if we talked about this on the air, but to go back to the Raiders to close that out, We were talking about it in Vegas. I remember when me, you, and Cliff was in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Al Davis was the first rider for blacks and minorities, because he hired the first Hispanic head coach as well. He was the first rider in the NFL. He was the first one to grab his nuts and say, the Raiders went somewhere. This was back in the AFL days.
Right,
they
right.
went somewhere, and the hotel owner said, well, your Negroes can't stay here.
Mm-hmm.
Al Davis said, well, I tell you what. If all of my players can't stay in the same hotel, not only are we not going to stay here, we ain't playing tomorrow.
Mm.
Guess what? Guess where the black player stayed?
At that hotel. Yep.
So shout out to Al Davis, man.
Yep.
Shout out to Al Davis for having the balls to do that in the 60s.
Right, when it was definitely not.
Yeah, it might have been the 70s.
It was definitely frowned upon.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So that's that with that, man. It's been a good show. It's been a good show. I think this one was fire.
Yeah.
So
Still hot in here.
Still hot in here. So check this out. As y'all know, we no longer stream live on social media. But you can still catch After Further Review on all of your favorite podcasting platforms.
Yes.
iHeart, iTunes, iRadio, Google, Apple,
Amazon.
Amazon, yep. Everywhere. And of course, you can go to the Believe Network. That's BLEAV.com. Search BTP. And you got to be very specific. BTP Sports, it'll come up. All right. And if you're not following us on social media, make sure you do so. We're on Instagram at BTP_sports. We're on Facebook at BTP Sports Talk. We are right now on Twitter at BTP Sports, but that may change soon. But, and as I said, it's the Believe Network, BLEAV.com. And of course, you can catch all of our content on our YouTube channel, which is Bring the Pain Sports. Follow me on Instagram at Big M, and not Instagram, at Twitter at Big M Brock. You can follow the Great Sports Morpheus at the DA Great Sports Morpheus for the big, the Great Sports Morpheus, Q and the crew, El Tejon, Mitchell Brock. Thank you for joining. We love you. Thank you for your support. And we'll see you next week. Have a very, very, very happy Memorial Day weekend. I know we are. We having a pool party at the house tomorrow, and it's going down.
Yes.
All right. So thank you guys. We love you, and we'll see you next week.
Peace.